Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost comes from our gospel reading of Mark. And looking up to heaven, Jesus sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." In the holy name of Jesus.
Amen.
We've got Jesus doing his Jesus things again, doing things that only Jesus can do for people that only Jesus can do them for. The first part of our text has him saying some weird and outlandish things to a particular Syrophoenician woman. She comes asking for help for her daughter, who is possessed by a demon. The second part of our text, the one that we're going to be focusing on mostly this morning, has this deaf and mute guy who is brought to Jesus, presumably by his friends, maybe family too. They ask for healing for this man, and Jesus obliges, although he does so in another weird and somewhat uncomfortable way. And if you look at both accounts in our gospel reading for today, you will notice that they have a few things in common, not the least of which is a miraculous healing. But there's even more than that. Now, Jesus had certainly done miracles before, and healing those who had some sort of infirmity, and even casting out demons, was already part of his repertoire. But a great many of these miracles had been done in a much more public sort of way. Not many of them were done behind closed doors, for only the recipient of the miracle to bear witness. Think of the feeding of the 5,000 as that prime example of this. Such a thing was hardly done in secret. Such a thing was hardly on the down low. Instead, it was something to be seen and heard by the masses. A Jesus for the many. A Jesus for the multitude. But here we see something a little bit more intimate. Something a little bit more personal. We might even echo the words of that big hit of the late 80s. For here it would appear as if this woman and this man had their own personal Jesus. And oftentimes we think of the miracles of Jesus, we think of the biggies, the bombastic ones, the ones that can't be denied. Oh, what it must have been like to be a part of that crowd who was fed until their bellies burst from what began by such a meager beginning. And isn't this always the temptation for all of us? To only see God as that big, giant God up there in the sky. Who does the big, giant, general things that only a big, giant, general God would do. He's the creator of all things, speaking everything into existence and upholding it all with the might of his omnipotent hand. It's a good God to have. It's a good Jesus to have. Who doesn't like to have a God who has the whole world in his hand? And I'm not even saying that it's a bad thing for us to look at God in such a way, for that is who he is. After all, but what about when it comes to the trials and the tribulations that you have? And here, I'm talking about you, little old you, small, little, insignificant you. What does such a big and bold God have to say for and to you? Are your problems and your trials and your sufferings too minuscule and unimportant for such a big, bold God to care about? Does he even have time to worry about you and all the things that you're dealing with? And I know that kind of does seem a little bit silly, this question, when it's posed in such a way. But I do pose it because, as silly as it may seem, these are still the questions that we find rattling around in our brains every once in a while, especially when we are in the midst of a personal problem. And it seems as if no one couldn't care less. And so they, whoever they might be, bring a particular man to Jesus. And this man is deaf, and his tongue, it's all twisted and tied up in such a way that no one can understand him when he speaks. So in this way, he's isolated. He's alone. He's a man who spent his entire life on an island, even when he's surrounded by a great crowd of people. Maybe you can relate. Maybe you can't. I bet you can, though. And so Jesus, he takes this man away from the crowd. He takes him away from them, whoever them might be, and he finds some place private. Now, it's just this deaf mute and Jesus. But from here on out, let's give this guy a name, because certainly he did have a name. He's not a nameless, faceless nobody who's just a number in the crowd, but he's a person. He's a real person, an individual, a certain someone whom God knows and for whom God cares. And so, yes, even though his name has been lost to the annals of time, it was not lost on Jesus. It wasn't lost on the Creator of all things, who did not only create all things, but specifically and intricately wove this man together in his mother's womb. So, yes, let's give this guy a name. And yes, you guessed it, let's call him Rick. Rick the deaf mute. So Jesus, he takes Rick aside privately and gives to him what he needs. Now, to be certain, this big and bold God of ours could have healed Rick in a big and bold sort of way. He could have, in front of the whole crowd, in front of them, whoever them might be, declared with his mighty words, "You are healed," but he didn't. He made this healing a personal one. He made this miracle an individual one for an individual person who had his own individual problems that only he and he alone had to deal with. So what does that say about this Jesus of ours? What does this have to say about this big and bold God of everything? Could he really actually care about little old me? And not just me as part of the crowd, but me as me. Something tells me that he does. And so Jesus takes Rick aside, something that we really haven't seen yet in the Gospel of Mark. And then he ups the ante even more. Jesus, he takes his fingers, his God in the flesh fingers, and then he places them in Rick's ears. Jesus, placing his omnipotent, all-powerful hands in the very place that caused this man such isolation and deep, dark suffering. Now, Jesus isn't concerned with sin in general, but the consequences of sin in specific. Now, Jesus isn't concerned with healing in general, but healing in specific. Now, Jesus isn't concerned with the great multitude of people for whom he will take care of in a big and bold general sort of way, like feeding the 5,000, but now he is concerned with the individual, with the individual's deaf muteness. He's concerned and he cares about Rick. And then he pushes his whole stack of chips. These chips that say, "I am more than just a big and bold God somewhere up there in the cosmos." He pushes the whole stack right there in the middle of the table. And he spits. And he takes that spittle and he touches the man's tongue with it. And say what you will about that whole ordeal. I know it sounds strange and a little bit off-putting, to say the least, but there's one thing that's clear. There's no way that Rick can deny that this thing that Jesus is doing, he's doing for him. There's no one else around. No crowd that Jesus could be playing to. It's only Rick. And now Rick has Jesus' very fingers in his ears and something that came from Jesus personally on his tongue. And Jesus didn't have to go to all of this trouble, but it was no trouble at all for Jesus. For this is who Jesus is. The big and bold God of creation, dare we even say the big and bold God of all salvation, who came to bring life and restoration to all the world, now being the small and personal God of salvation for Rick, in his small and personal need. And in the giant scheme of things, this personal healing means absolutely nothing. But for Rick, it means everything. And then Jesus speaks a word for Rick, just for Rick, because Rick's the only one who's there. And he says, "Ephatha, be opened." And Rick's ears are opened. And Rick's tongue is loosed. It's almost as if Jesus, right here, in time and space in our text for today, is fulfilling those general words that we heard about in the Old Testament reading from Isaiah when he says, "The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and the tongue of the mute shall sing for joy." But now he's doing that general thing specifically in a not so general sort of way. This prophecy of old, which speaks about the general salvation of the general world, once the fullness of time comes about and God steps out of his big and bold celestial kingdom, now it's being fulfilled in time and space to this nobody Rick, who means nothing to you or me, but who means everything to the God who created him. Rick, he has his own personal Jesus. And that isn't to say that Rick has a Jesus that he got to make up to suit his own ideas of who Jesus should be. But instead, Rick has a Jesus who is not just a Jesus for the masses, although he certainly is a Jesus for everyone. But he is a Jesus who is also, at the very same time, and dare I say it, more importantly, a Jesus who is for him. And so do you. You and Rick are the same. No, sorry, that's actually wrong. You and Rick aren't the same. And that's the whole point. Rick is Rick, and you are you, and Jesus is for Rick as Rick, and Jesus is for you as you. You're not just part of this world for whom Christ died, although you certainly are. But you're also the individual for whom Christ cares for individually, for whom Christ desires to bring salvation to individually, for whom Christ's heart actually breaks for when he sees you, yes, you, in your trials and your sufferings and your temptations and your struggles and your disease and your loneliness and your despair and your guilt and your shame, and your feelings of unworthiness and your feelings of unimportantness. Jesus is a Jesus for you. The plural you and the singular you. At the cross, Jesus won salvation for all of mankind. From sin and pain, from death and the devil. And that empty tomb isn't quite as empty as it might appear. In it lies Rick, the deaf mute's broken ears and twisted up tongue. And in it lies your disease and your cancer and your dementia and your arthritis. In it lies your heartache and your shame and your sin and your death. In it lies the devil and all of his demons. In that empty grave of Jesus lies all sin and all disease, and all pain and suffering, all death. At the cross and in the grave lies the general victory over Christ for all people. But like I've said over and over in this sermon, Jesus isn't just that general Jesus. He is a personal and a specific one. And so he has a personal word for your personal ears. Not personal as if it's just for you and you alone, but personal in the way that it does absolutely mean it is for you. Jesus, he speaks into your ears. "Ephatha, be opened. My cross is for you. I took all of your sin and pain and your disease and even your death, and on the cross I made it mine. It is mine, all of it. It was nailed through me so that I might have victory over it, and now I make that victory yours. Ephatha, be opened and hear the words of the cross for you, spoken into, yes, your ears. And you see that font right over there? That's for you, too. You're not a nameless nobody. Those waters right there are child-making waters, and they are for you. You're wedded, and you're watered, and you're washed clean, and given a name in the book of life, not just a name, not just any name, but your name, Mary and Margaret and Sam and Rick. And how about this rail right here? Oh, you're not going to even believe it. Time for me to touch your tongue with my own flesh. Time for your throat to be ephethed so that I can pour the blood of my cross down inside of you so that you might have it, so that you might have me forever. Don't you see, my fellow saints in Christ, brothers and sisters, Jesus, he is for you. Personally and individually and specifically for you. Because that's the type of Jesus you have. Not just a general Jesus for a general world with the general problems of sin and death and the devil, although all of that is most certainly true. But more than that, you have a for you Jesus. Not just a Jesus for the masses. Or a Jesus for the other guy, or even just a Jesus for Rick, the deaf mute, but a Jesus for you. So hear his words of forgiveness for you. And remember your baptism for you. And receive his body and blood for you. In the name of Jesus.